I'm very excited to talk about Joshua, to give an introduction and a little bit of an overview of the book. I was reading Joshua out loud to my four-year-old theologian, Kate, and we were discussing the verse, be strong and courageous. And I asked Kate, how do you be strong? And she's like, well, you lift weights. Well, how do you be courageous? I think this would be a big word. Well, you do the things that you're afraid of. I'm like, well, those are pretty good answers. But, Kate, what if you are too weak to lift weights? And what if you are too scared to do the things you're afraid of? And then she looked at me and she said, well, then you have to ask someone big to do it for you. And that's what Joshua is about. It's about God working on behalf of his people to bring about his promises. Victory comes through faith in God and obedience to his word, rather than military might or numerical superiority. Joshua is a book about God who promised and God who fulfills his promises. It's about a God who goes before his people, who conquers and who fights for them. It's a call for his people not to be strong in their own strength, but to obey and trust his. God is faithful. So, as an overview, as we know, the Bible is all about God's promise in an inheritance in the kingdom of God. And Joshua, like the smaller arc of it, is the story of how Joshua led the people of Israel to take possession of their inheritance in the earthly kingdom, which was Canaan. There's lots of New Testament implication. We'll just touch on it just to plant the seed that often Joshua is kind of a mirror of Jesus as Jesus leads us to take possession of all that we stand to inherit in the heavenly kingdom of God. So just be thinking about that in the back of your mind. So I thought we would go over the who, when, where, and what of Joshua. So who wrote the book of Joshua? Who is Joshua? And what we know, and what do we know of him and his backstory? So who wrote the book of Joshua? Joshua is believed to be the writer of the book that bears his name. And Joshua means Yahweh saves, or Yahweh is salvation. So who is Joshua? Joshua is the son of Nun, and he's from the tribe of Ephraim. And interestingly, he was born in Egypt in captivity and was given the name, his original name was Hoshea, which is salvation. And he was raised up to take over leadership after Moses, and Moses gave him the name Yeshua, which is Yahweh is salvation. So, what do we know about Joshua and his backstory? So, there's three things that I wanted to point out about Joshua and his character. We first see Joshua in Exodus 17. Joshua had just watched God open the Red Sea and walked through it. He just watched God bring water from a rock for thirsty people. And it's right after this that Amalek, the people, came attacking Israel. And Moses goes to Joshua and says, so go out and fight these people tomorrow. He says, tomorrow. Lots of preparation for Joshua. And so tomorrow did. He went out and did that. And Moses said, and I'm going to go stand on a hill when you fight. And I'm going to hold up a rod, and God is going to give us victory. And so Joshua went and fought, and there was victory. God brought victory. So the first thing we know about Joshua is that Joshua saw God's power to win battle. He was not prepared to fight. The second thing that I wanted to note about Joshua is that in Exodus 33, which I love this, we read about Moses and Joshua meeting with the Lord face to face in the tent of meeting. We often associate the tent of meeting with Moses speaking with God face to face. And in Exodus 33, it talks about when Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. But guess what? Joshua was there too. And then it says later in verse 11, when Moses turned again into the camp, His assistant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. Thinking about this, evidently, Joshua lingered in the tent of meeting in the presence of the invisible Lord after Moses left. This must have shaped his understanding of God and his confidence in God. Surely his experience made God's promise of his ongoing presence all the more tangible to Joshua when Yahweh said to him in Joshua 1, "Just as I am with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause the people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them." So we see that Joshua stayed in God's presence. He saw God's power, and he was in God's holy presence. And the third thing that I think is really unique and awesome about Joshua is that in Numbers 13, when Moses is instructed by God to send out the spies to survey the land God was giving them, Joshua is actually one of these spies. And he's mentioned in Numbers 13:8, as the tribe of Ephraim, Hoshea, the son of Nun, Joshua, was there. And so Moses tells these spies to go see this land that God has given us. Tell me about what you see, what the people are like, and come back and tell us. And so these 12 spies go, and then they all come back, and 10 of these spies say, "Oh, this is a great land, but these people, huge, terrifying, abort mission, do not go." And it's Joshua and Caleb who stand up in the crowd and silence these other spies and say, "No." In Numbers 13, it says, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." And Joshua says later, continuing on, he says, "The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. And if the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into the land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and give it to us. Only don't rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because God will devour them. Their protection is gone. The Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them." And it is because of this, of the men who went to explore the land, Joshua and Caleb were the only ones that believed God's promise. Mm-hmm. And not only did all those spies perish because of plague, but all of the people who came from Egypt didn't get to step foot in the promised land because they didn't believe, except for Joshua and Caleb. So I say all this not to paint Joshua as a hero, but rather to point out what he observed about God, his power, his presence, and his promise, his faithfulness to his promise, and that Yahweh saves. So when did this happen? So this happened in 1400 BC, which, to give you a little context, for Israel, this would have been 430 to 480 years of waiting to enter the land that God had promised Abraham all the way back in Genesis. In Genesis 12, the Lord said to Abraham, "Go from your country and your people and your father's household to the land I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you." And at the time, the Canaanites were in the land, but the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, "To your offspring, I will give this land." This was 430 years ago that this was said. And later in Genesis, the Lord had told Abraham everything that was going to come about. And he said in 15, "Then the Lord said to Abraham, know for certain that for 400 years, your descendants will be strangers in a country, not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated. But I will punish that nation they served as slaves, and afterward they will come out in great possessions. And in the fourth generation, the descendants will come back here." So, this time in history, we're looking at 430 years of a promise that has been made. And this is the promise that we're waiting to see happen in Joshua. For the rest of the world at this time, while Israel has been in captivity and wandering in the desert, if you look on a timeline in 1400 BC, this is the time when everybody else is rising to power. Canaanites are at the peak of their strength. The Assyrians are a huge world superpower, and they're gaining momentum. And this is the people that God is going to send his people in to conquer. So though those are building, the faith of the people are building too. So where in the Bible this is interesting, because it's right after the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. These five books are written by Moses. And then we have this transition book, that's Joshua. And we notice that transition right away in Joshua 1:1 when it says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them. So Joshua begins with the transfer of leadership. Joshua is a hinge book connecting the promises made to the promises kept. And so it's also interesting that we can see this transition even on the map. So, school teacher-ness happening right now. But, so the Israelites came from Egypt, crossed the Dead Sea, and then they went all around for 40 years traveling in the desert. There was a short jot when the spies went out and surveyed the land, but they came right back because the people were grumbled and afraid. And so God continued to take them up into the desert until they got to here, the Jordan River. And that's the setting of the start of Joshua, is there at the edge of the water. They've been at the edge of the water before, as you all remember, in Exodus, when they came to the Red Sea. And even then, it says in Exodus, and when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, the servant. And at that point in time, the Lord went behind them and he protected them from the Egyptians. And the people saw God's power and learned not to fear the enemies behind them. But now, we've got the Ark of the Lord as we're at the Jordan River going before the Israelites. And it says in Joshua 3 that God is going to prove that he's powerful enough to force all the enemies out. Just watch the sacred chest that belongs to the Lord, the ruler of the whole earth. And as soon as the priests carrying the chest step into the Jordan, the water will stop flowing and pile up as if someone had built a dam across the river. And it says later, the Lord your God did to the Jordan what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over. He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God. So Joshua's setting begins at the bank of the Jordan River, and the people saw God's power and learned not to fear what was ahead as God went before them. So just briefly to go over the format of the book, is there's four parts. There's the crossing into the land, 1-5, and then there's the taking of the land, which is 6-12, and then there's the dividing of the land, which is 13-21, and serving the Lord in the land. Some key themes to look out for as you're doing your own reading is victory comes through faith in God and obedience to his word. The Lord's continuing presence is the key to strength and courage. The Lord as the divine warrior. The Lord is protector of covenant. The sovereignty of God in giving his people a place of rest. And the faithfulness of God in fulfilling all of his good promises. So when you read Joshua and look for God, the promise keeper, the conqueror, the one who fights for you, remember that Joshua is the other half of Exodus. God brought them out, and now he is bringing them back in. The story is about God who conquers, and that the primary actor of Joshua isn't Joshua, but it is God. And I love how Joshua ends in 24, the last chapter. And Joshua gives an entire overview of history before even Abraham, all the way down to where they are today. And it's like I won't read all of it, but it's a huge statement of, I did this, says God. It's I is listed like 40 times in like 15 verses, over and over and over, and I just wanted to read you a part of it. And Joshua said to all the people, thus says the Lord God of Israel, your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, dwelt on the other side of the river, and they served other gods. And then I took your father Abraham from the other side, and I led him through the land of Canaan, and I multiplied his descendants, and I gave Jacob and Esau, and I gave the mountains of Sur to possess, and I sent a plague on Egypt, and I was among them. I brought you out. I brought your fathers out. Over and over and over, I brought the sea upon them. I did this in Egypt. I brought you in the land of the Amorites. I gave them, I destroyed them. I delivered you. I delivered you, I delivered you, I delivered you. I sent you, I have given you the land for which you did not labor and cities which you did not build. And you dwell in them. You eat of the vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant. And then he says, Joshua says, if you have heard all this, commit yourselves to God and be faithful to the Lord. Fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness, as obedience is the only appropriate response to the God who keeps his promises. So as you prepare for this year and get ready to go through Joshua, be strong, but be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. And be of good courage, for God has overcome the world. And commit yourselves to God and trust in him, and he will give you rest. So Joshua, Yahweh saves.